All right, beautiful day for baseball here. We're joined by Guy Haberman. And if you saw the broadcast or listened to it the other night on YouTube, Guy was part of it. But he's done games for the Pac-12 Network. He hosts daily on SiriusXM, and he hosts Haberman and Middlecoff, a podcast. And I've been on with him a million times when he was at Fresno. I love being on with this guy.
That's right. We go way back.
It's great to have you here. Guy Haberman, nice to have you.
It's great to see you. I was, at those times when I used to have you on the show then, Copes, I was doing the Fresno Grizzlies with Doug Greenwald. So it's good to hear Hank.
Well, you know baseball. You know the game.
I appreciate that.
No, you do. You know the
Thanks
game.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, you were,
Adam, take over.
You were calling games with the Fresno Grizzlies when they were the Giants of Philly.
Yeah, 07, 08, 09. Yep.
Yeah, I love
Doug
being on.
Hank would come down. Hank would be on all the time. Down.
Yeah. He's great.
I didn't know you called those games. And now you're calling games on YouTube at the big league level here.
Right.
How about that?
That's right.
So how was the YouTube broadcast? How'd it go? Any differences that you experienced from doing it? Seems to me like it's just a regular broadcast.
Yeah, it's
right?
pretty. If you remember, like, we did a few of those Facebook ones last year.
Right, right.
And I think these were probably a little more baseball-centric than some of the other stuff that involved, like, responding to comments and that sort of thing.
Interactivity.
Yeah, I mean, YouTube is a major video platform. I know last year when we did the Facebook, like, I would check Twitter during the game. It'd be a lot of complaining. Way less complaining. Even some compliments. So I think it was pretty easy for people to find. I hope it was. It seemed like it was. I know they didn't give me the specifics, but they were pretty satisfied with the number of viewers on television. Like, I just assumed it'd be a lot of mobile.
Right.
But they had I think they were really satisfied with the number of TV viewers they had.
I think everybody's now itching towards the smart TV or the Roku or the Apple TV, whatever it is. People, it's so easy now to just get it on your big screen. How about the quality of the ball, the team itself? The Giants, red hot in July, not so hot in August.
Yeah.
People tying it, I think, to the trade deadline. For me, it's not trade deadline. It's they don't really have a – still don't really have an outfield now that Dickerson's out.
Yeah, I didn't think they needed to make the playoffs this year. I don't think they need to make the playoffs next year. But there's a line between making the playoffs and not exciting anybody. And so I think that's what made July great. July was great for two reasons. One, it got them enough in the race. Like, to me, this ballpark, these fans, you're around 500
people here
for the duration of the season. Like, that's going to be a really good year. You'll have a good gate. You'll get good ratings, TV, radio. All that will be fine. Just don't be awful. And I think what this year has done to this point is it's just given people an idea of what a Farhan baseball team is going to look like, and that's going to be a team that churns until they find something that works. And then the other thing it did was it got Bochy in the mix now to pass Leo DeRocher for 10th on the all-time wins list. And I thought it would have been sad to me if Bochy's season ended the way it looked like it was going to end in June. And no matter what happens now this last month and a half, I think we've assured ourselves at least of having some good baseball for him.
Well, end of May, beginning of June, I don't think anybody thought the Giants were going to play 500-like baseball. I don't think anybody thought they could get to 74 wins and get Bochy 2,000. What do you make of the Bochy situation here on the way out? This weekend, I saw after Vogt hit the home run on Friday, you see people start sparking up. I think it was Middlecoff saying...
It was me.
Was it you first? Yeah. And then he retweeted you saying, oh, it was you then. Perfect. Saying Stephen Vogt needs to be the player manager for next year. I was going to almost ask you where'd that come from, but I guess...
Well, what it came
the
from...
The horse's mouth right here.
Yeah, what it came from was a few days prior, I was just... In doing, like, the sidelines for the YouTube broadcast, I was just trying to find some other random angles, you know? And I would have, my thought was, well, if I get a hold of Farhan, I'll ask him, like, what he thinks the challenges would be. Could there be any sort of, you know, could you manipulate a roster in a way that would make it really advantageous to have a player manager, right? I'll tell you, the thing that planted the seed was Brian Kenny's book. I don't know if you've read Brian Kenny's book, but he talks about how he feels like he could manage a baseball team, how easy it is to manage a baseball team in 2019. And I don't think it's easy.
Seems like a Kenny take.
But I'm like, if Brian Kenny thinks he can manage a team, then certainly Stephen Vogt could play and manage a team. You know, Joe Torre, his first year was managing a team in 77. Frank Robinson managed a team in 75. And we're getting closer and closer and closer to some guy retiring and managing right away. I mean, Aaron Boone had obviously comes from the TV booth and manages. Like, you look around, we're just getting closer and closer and closer to less and less managerial experience. So why not a guy just retired? The problem is Stephen Vogt's playing too well to retire. So I said, let's make him the player manager.
Well, yeah, look at Dave Roberts. You know, Gabe Kapler, you know, they're, you know, not that far out
David
of their
Bell's
career.
A.J. Hinch
out.
Wasn't that out when he started.
A.J. Hinch
Brad
really
Auschwitz.
Was young.
Yeah, there's a lot of guys
I
out
mean,
there.
Sam Fold's down there in the Phillies dugout. Some people feel like maybe he'll be a manager. The list goes on and on and on. So now the question is, could you play enough with him on your 40-man? Would Forrest and Bean claim vote when you try to sneak him off your 40-man but keep him as your manager? Like, there are some challenges there. But, I mean, in all seriousness, I do think the way the game is played, if your manager is doing something else at a given time, you know, there's enough instruction coming from the front office that maybe you could make it work.
This sparks a conversation that with baseball evolving and adding more players to the 40-man or to the active roster, I think that's coming, right? Next year, do we get 26, yeah. I think, is added? You get 26 now for the doubleheader. You'll get 27 for a doubleheader going forward. I wonder if we expand so much that to help the pitchers and add more players that we'll see more player managers because you'll have extra spots on your active roster.
Well, and maybe front offices are more comfortable doing it knowing that, hey, look, we try to control as much as we can. Bochy's obviously one of the last of a breed, but we control so much that, you know, you can manage both things. Oh, I forgot Pete Rose. Pete Rose did it.
Yeah, yeah.
But I went and looked. I think Torrey played like 36 games or 40 some games. You know, Vogt's playing way more. This is all about Stephen Vogt.
Dude,
now
Lenny Wilkins.
This is just about
Vogt. Well, Stephen Vogt. You know, first of all, he could get the Willie Mack Award. I mean, he's in the mix for that. He's that inspirational. And you're right. We're looking towards managers. They're controlled anyway by the front office to a large degree. Brian Kenny writes about it in the book. So why not? It'd be interesting to see it. As long as they keep Ron Wotus here, I can deal with anything. That's it. Hey, it's Sunday Night Baseball. That holds a special moment for you with Lincecum and just baseball in general.
Yeah, I didn't realize. I started going back through all the game logs. This is the first Sunday night game between the Phillies and the Giants since May 6, 2007, which was Tim Lincecum's debut. And I was in Fresno at the time, and I remember what a big deal it was, you know, for the Grizzlies organization. And, you know, we would soon have Posey and Bumgarner and all that. But Bumgarner was pitching in the high school playoffs in North Carolina that month. Later that month, he would win the state championship in high school.
Hickory.
And, but that wasn't – I the name of the high school was like New Campbell or something like that.
I kind of would have liked it to be Hickory High School. I'm thinking Hoosiers now.
Yeah, no, go with it. Yeah. The first inning was, you know, I think Tim didn't get out of the fifth. Copes, you're telling me you're at the game.
I was here.
I remember
so
vividly watching that game. Give up a homer. Walked Jimmy Rollins, who I think is here today. Give up the homer to Victorino, but struck out Ryan Howard.
I think he gave up a homer to Howard later, though, did he?
Yeah, I think he did.
He gave
Howard and the home run to Victorino, the star. We did the greatest game on it today. And then Howard hit the home run off him, and he walked a couple in the fifth, and he was gone.
Five hits, five walks, five runs, five strikeouts. It's like the Nuke LaLoosh line almost. Yeah.
And then he won the next game.
Then he
got his win the next time out. They threw him against Colorado, and he got the win. I think it was 7-3
I saw he was at the Perfect Game event in San Diego last night. I saw that on Twitter.
He had gold locks.
Yeah.
He frosted his tips, a little Guy Fieri action. Yeah.
But that's, you know, you think about all the great games now that we've seen watching this team in the last decade plus. But that's up there.
All right. Bumgarner.
Yeah.
You like that at bat the other day?
I asked Bochy. I got to talk to Bochy during the YouTube broadcast right after the at bat because it was a 9-pitch at bat. And I'd gotten – the great thing about that is we had access – all the crew is MLB crew. So we had access to all the MLB research. And they told me that would tied the longest at bat of Bumgarner's career. But I thought what was so great about it was that Crawford ran twice. Right on an 0-2 pitch, Crawford ran, and Bumgarner fouls it off, runs again, and he gets the base hit. I mean, how many pitchers do you trust to that degree? I don't know. You know, he's had so many big games. I'm not putting it up. But it was one of my favorite, as crazy as this sounds, it was one of my favorite Bumgarner games just because of that at bat.
Well, they used him again after that to pinch hit.
I was going to say, he did hit two home runs on opening day a couple of years ago. That was a pretty good performance.
No, there's so many. I mean, so I asked Bochy, was that one of the best at bats ever? And he was like, well, I don't know, you know, which is a fair answer. I think just given that it was his first start since the trade deadline at home, and they hadn't, you know, no one's been scoring. Like, Belt comes up next, and that's the first run of the game was created in part by Bumgarner. So I thought that was really cool.
I like it. Guy Haberman with us. A lot of local connections. Reese Hoskins is here. We got a local Northern California
stuff. Yeah, a ton of guys. I think what's crazy, I remember the New York Times, somebody did a study a few years ago about when a kid's favorite team or player when he's eight or she is eight will be that child's favorite player in all likelihood, right?
Like that,
the eight-year-old. And so I was talking to Reese Hoskins' coach. He went to Sacramento State. Reggie Christensen's his name. And he was at the ballpark. They had a big bus of Sac State players, 30 plus here. And his kids' names, by the way, are Reese Robinson and Ryan Ripken. Nolan Ryan, Cal Ripken, Pee-wee Reese, Jack. But
Jackie kids?
Robinson. Reggie Christensen, the head baseball coach.
He's got all named after. It was Reese Hoskins.
And he said Reese Hoskins' favorite player was Madison Bumgarner. I thought, wait a second. Reese Hoskins is like almost, he's 5 years younger than Madison Bumgarner. But what's so unique, right, is he was a junior. Between his junior year of high school and his first year of pro ball, the Giants won 3 World Series. So much for being eight. It's if you were just a fan in, you know, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, this team, these players, Posey, Bumgarner, right, Bochy, there's going to be generations of fans.
Well, that, Connor Menez, who's pitching tonight, remember they asked him what his dream was as a kid pitcher, and he said, I always wanted to face Buster Posey. It's like, dude, the kid was like 10 years old when Buster Posey's making his major league debut.
These guys aren't old. Like,
yeah, it's unbelievable.
Bumgarner just turned 30.
So who is your favorite?
My favorite was Cal Ripken.
Okay.
Yeah, we moved to California. My dad was in the Air Force, so we moved to Davis in 99. But I was an Orioles fan between 1985, when I was born, and 1999. And, you know, while we were moving around the country, and even into Turkey, I was cutting out newspaper clippings. And we were in the car. We drive from Texas in the summer of 99, and there's the guy who I was listening to in Baltimore calling the Giants.
Boy, we love having you on. Love having you on. We should do this much more often. Where can we hear you next?
I'm on SiriusXM every morning. It's a Pac-12 for all you Pac-12 fans out there. Okay.
Football's coming up.
Pac-12, yeah. We call in Pac-12 games and the Haberman and Middlecoff podcast, which I always like promoting. So
I love it. Love having you on. It's great.
Can I give you one more real quick?
Very quick.
I'll be quick.
Official yell at me.
All right. Sparky Anderson, Bochy's going to pass him for most active games managed on September 28th, the second to last game. That is the 100-year anniversary of the fastest 9-inning game in Major League Baseball history. Giants and Phillies, 51 minutes, September 28th, 1919. And you know who had 3 hits that day, Marty?
What are you doing?
High Pockets Kelly.
George High Pockets Kelly. I was at his...
For the Giants. I was going to say, give me a first name. I need it, Marty. Give it to me.
I was at his grandson's house.
I hope that was quick enough.
What are you doing in your spare time?
I go on Baseball Reference.
Yeah, you should be talking to Carmen Q. Really.
George High Pockets.
More, thanks, Guy. All right, more coming up right after this.